Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 382. It is Thanksgiving night.
That's yeah, right. Buddy.
And we're all here.
We're with our real family.
we all ran away from our family to be with our real family.
Tony is here.
Yeah, and I am not dead.
And he's not dead. And Jeff is here, also not dead, although I don't know. You drank that bottle of tequila.
It's questionable.
How old is that bottle?
That was not my bottle. It was a bottle at this party. Like we were all.
You didn't drink all of it. I see.
No. I
didn't. Okay.
All of it. If I drink all of it, I would not be here at this moment.
And Pete is here too.
Hello.
No bottles of tequila, but you have escaped your family and.
Oh no! My family just fell asleep.
So. Oh well, that happens.
Same thing.
He poisoned them. They're all dead.
No, my parents, despite being some of the youngest that I know, are old people and like to go to bed at 9 p.m. for whatever reason. So they checked out real early.
That's generally my wife. Like she's like,
that's my girlfriend.
I gotta go to bed.
Meanwhile, I stay up till like 1 in the morning every night.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
But it's Thanksgiving. We've been playing some games.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what we should start with, but
all right, who has the least amount of games on their plate? Because I saw Chris's list and I feel like it's going to be a majority of his impressions, because I saw maybe 6 games on your list.
What did I have? I played Battlefront, I have finished Wolfenstein, I have Nier, which wasn't on the list.
There's 7 something games.
Else. It might have been something else, I don't know.
Is that it, or do you have more?
I mean, I could talk about a bunch of shit, because, like, I played Lego Dimensions, the Lego Batman set, which was fun, and, ooh. Like, I have a bunch of shit to talk about, but that I can talk about. We don't want to talk about it all, though.
I'm trying to think. I have South Park. I have Evil Within 2. I think that might be it.
Oh, you didn't play anything else that you bought today, Jeff?
A lot of it will be arriving in the mail.
Oh, okay. You didn't go digital. I see.
No, I mean, I did in the case of like South Park, just because it sold out before I woke up.
Wow.
Yeah, Black Friday started early on Amazon today.
Well, like it's always at least on Thanksgiving, but it's like. Used to be like an all-day thing, and it used to be like this, all these like lightning deals, and I don't even see those anymore unless like they're hidden in there. Like,
yeah, I haven't seen them either.
But like it would be just like, hey, you know, fucking this game is $25, and you go and check on there and be like, this game is available from third-party sellers and like way more.
They're gone.
So yeah. They're just gone. Like, which is crazy. Like, how the hell do you sell out of Call of Duty? Like,
yeah, I actually got
Amazon doesn't have 8 billion copies of that game.
I got sick of Amazon doing this, so I just buy all my games on Best Buy now. I'm like, oh, screw you guys.
Best Buy seems really legit this Black Friday. Like, they had the deals going early and often. Like, just crazy shit all the time.
You know who has good deals, though, if you're going digital, is the Xbox sale.
Yes.
I bought a couple games off of that.
Extremely good, and their weekly sale also has like Injustice for $20. Injustice 2. So I got that, and
I feel like that's on sale on PSN as well.
Yeah, that it might be.
Steam has really good sales too, but
yeah, Steam looks really good too. There are a couple things on there I think I'm going to get.
I mean, Divinity 2 is 10% off, and I keep looking at it.
I got 10%
is not enough though. I think if you wait on Divinity 2 and get it like their after Christmas sale. You're gonna find it for less.
Yeah, Rainbow Siege is only $7 right now, and they're still pumping out content for that. But Stardew Valley is $10. There's no excuse.
I already have Stardew Valley.
I have so many other games to play. It's my excuse.
Heat Signature is $12.
Stardew Valley is good though.
It is. It's fun.
It looks good. It looks like a game I would enjoy. I'm just.
Actually, I know what we could start with. Except Pete, I know you've been playing this, or at least you downloaded it.
Oh, I've been playing a lot of it.
So I don't know if anybody else here has done it. I have, but Animal Crossing.
Oh yeah,
Pocket Camp.
Yes, that's what it's called. I was like, I don't even know what it's called. That's out.
Yeah, I'm level 11 right now.
Holy okay. shit, how? I'm
level 3.
I'm level 2. That's insane.
And it's not like, it's mostly just time played. So, like, I play not, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's not, like, a huge amount of the game because, or amount of the time. Like, it doesn't take a whole lot to do stuff. You just sort of run around and, like, you know, check in on everybody, and I don't know. I collected a lot of stuff in the beginning, which really helped me just like get done with shit real quick.
A lot of it is requests. A lot of it is like fulfilling requests from your peoples.
Yep. Excuse me. And like, I really haven't had. I only spent some leaf bucks to, open up more crafting slots, but they give you so many. Just for like doing so much basic shit. Like right now I have 221.
Wow.
And like every time you level up, you get another 10. In the beginning, I think they give you like 250, like between levels 1 and 5 of just like unlocking all of this stuff and doing these things. And like a lot of the beginning milestones are super lucrative.
Yeah. I think I'm like at like 130 or 140 and like, I've only played for maybe an hour total, so.
Yeah, I downloaded it on Wednesday. I played a little bit at work. I played a little bit before I went to bed. And yeah, it's like a nice game to like wait for my sleeping pill to kick in with and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I've never played Animal Crossing, so I can't necessarily speak to how it compares to
it
console games.
I feel like it's a drastic departure. Am I crazy, Chris? Like,
I mean, I don't know, drastic, right? Like, you're still doing a lot of the same shit. But it's very in that small.
You're doing nothing, but like, there's.
Yes.
Exactly. There is, like, the whole, like, there's progression to it. Like, there's no levels in any other animal.
Right. There's no
objectives.
Like, it's like, you just do what you want. Like in regular Animal Crossing, it's just like, hey, like, I mean, you have some goals that are stated, but you don't have to do them.
Besides paying off like your nonsense, like it's just like get better shit, right? Because it looks
cool. It's literally just like hang out, like go. Like one of the things that was like crazy about Animal Crossing is that like there's no real objective. Yeah, it's like basically make your house bigger, but you don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything. It doesn't prompt you to do anything. Like, this game has a list of short-term goals and long-term goals. Like, I just think it's worth noting that. Like, it is doing some things. Like, despite the fact that it almost feels like a full-fledged Animal Crossing game, almost. But it's different. And it's like, you're doing tasks for resources that allow you to craft things, as opposed to you do a task and you just get a random piece of furniture. Like, it's just different. I don't know if I think it's better or not. I'm just noting the fact that it's like, despite the fact that like I'm surprised by how like it feels like kind of a full game almost. Like it is pretty different in some ways from the regular series.
Sure. Like definitely having all the you know the what are they called, tasks or challenges or whatever, and then you have like the immediate ones and then the like stretch goals.
Like that, but like, and that stuff is like, I don't pay a lot of attention to that. I just pay attention to like what stuff the other animals need. And it's like, oh, all right, you need me to go catch a butterfly? Sure. You know, I'm collecting all of this stuff anyways. So like, and you go in, you have conversations and stuff, and that like builds the meter.
Like, that's different because like in the old Animal Crossing games, it would be like, you talk to an animal, you'd be like, hey, could you go over to so and so's house and just grab something for me? It wasn't like, could you get 3 of these things or whatever? I don't know. Like there are, think major differences for a game that feels essentially the same.
Jeff, do you like? I don't really remember either. But do you recall if in like the last Animal Crossing game, if like there was any sort of heart meter? Like, did you know if they liked you or not?
No. It's never. It's just been.
Yeah, it was always, like, random, right? Like, I don't know, like, I'm doing things that, like, maybe this dude will like, but then, like, you seem like you're friends with, like, the bird guy, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Like, yeah, and I actually don't think that, like...
Random. Like, you know, everything is just random. Like, there was no even a hidden meter, you know what I mean?
Right.
But in this one, there is, there's, like, a heart meter that fills up the more you interact. So, like, yeah, like, it's doing a lot of things, I think, actually, for the series. I just don't know how drawn into it I am. I don't know if I, like, despite all these, like, interesting things they're adding to it, I just don't know that I'm, like, I'm not addicted to it. Like, I'm playing it here and there. Sure. It's small. It's, like, it's good, like, really small chunks like that, but, like...
Yeah, it's a fun time waster. Because, like... I don't know. I if you remember my impressions on Fire Emblem Heroes, I was like, I like this, but I have a feeling in 2 weeks I will not play this ever again, and that could very well happen here.
Yeah, it could definitely happen. But I'll give it this: it's kind of better than I would expect it to be, and it's free. Like, I'm never gonna put a dime into this. I don't give a fuck about these leaf tickets or whatever you could buy.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, they give you so many.
Like, yeah, if you play the game, I don't get why you would need to buy that shit. Like,
I mean, it's basically just, it's like all like meter progression where it's like, I don't want to deal with this shit. And there is one area in the game, the quarry, which I assume is where you get like stuff to make really high end gear.
Spend money in there, it seems like, yeah.
But
I went in there once, and I was like, the shit I found, I was like, I don't get, you think I'm going to spend money for this? You're crazy.
You know, but... But also, like, you can also get in there for free, right? If you, like, ask friends for help or whatever. I'm not really sure how that system works.
Yeah, I don't know how that, I don't know how you do that, but, yeah.
I'm level 12 now, by the way.
Wow.
Like, well, because what it seems like is that the, getting from one level to the next is always the exact same amount of experience. Like, it never increases. It's just the amount of experience needed to raise your friend's heart level is what grows instead.
Right. Yeah, I saw like once, like, so you would do a task and like it would go halfway up, and then you do another task and it'll be all the way up, and but then it was like a third, and then like, so it looks like it's down on the heart rate. So
I don't know, how are you looking at it, Chris?
It's fun, I guess. I mean, it's Animal Crossing. Like,
yeah,
the environments are really tiny though, like, which...
Yeah, it's like you can't walk around and explore and, like, find people to talk to. It's just like, okay, you go over here to go fish. You go over here to do this. You go over here to do that. Like,
you go to this location to, you know, talk to this person and do this task. And, like, this is where you go to get the fruit. And this is where you go to get the bugs. And this is where you go to fish. And, like, it's all the stuff of Animal Crossing. It's all there, but it's... requires you to like bounce around a whole lot more than you would have to, as opposed to like in New Leaf, it's like you have everything there in the one section, like, and your town and everything, and then you get the island.
You get the sense of exploration and like going to people's different houses and talking to them, and like here it just feels like all so chopped up into little pieces.
Right, that's just the nature of it being on phones, right? Like, if you never be able to have a full town inside of it.
Yeah,
like,
and
why
and
not, though? Like, they can't do that? Like,
the game would probably chug, or it would only be on iPads and stuff, and they want it on phones. Like,
I mean, it's fine. It's fine. Like,
yeah, it's fine for what it is. Especially, like, dude, I didn't pay for this, and I think it's cool. Like, I love Animal Crossing, so it's nice to have. I'm sure I'll play it some more. I'm just...
Yeah, I'll pop it on every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm not, like, blown away, though. I'm not saying, like, this is, like... I still want my legit Animal Crossing for the Switch. I'll say that much.
Right, and I don't think this is going to replace that. Like, I don't know why everyone was freaking out. Like,
I think I am thinking that for whatever reason, but I don't know why. As long as, like, just reassure me this year, Nintendo, or next year, whatever.
Yeah.
I think you'll get a regular Animal Crossing, Jeff. Like maybe another city one or whatever.
But I do hope it... incorporates more like things like that, like where it's like meters and objectives and almost more like The Sims. I like that.
Give it more of a...
Give me something to do.
Yeah, like give me a reason to keep coming back, like other than like, I want to make my house cool, like, and now I have all these like cool Nintendo trophies, but like they're just cluttering up my fucking house.
It's like funny, like I was like saying to somebody earlier this week, like, when the first Animal Crossing came out, it was mind-blowing in so many different ways. Like, just, like, the fact that if you played at 3 a.m. in the game, it was, or in real life, it was that was 3 a.m. in the game, you know, like
right.
just little things like that. And now it's like, it almost feels like antiquated now a little bit. Like there's just not much to the series. It's like, all right, you can go fishing, you can catch bugs, you can do this and that, but like there's no real progression.
And unless you're like into collecting everything and like filling out all the, you know, the museum pieces and, you know, decorating your house, like there's not really much game to Animal Crossing. Like give me more game.
And even if it is in the form of just like meters that I'm chasing after, like that's something. Like it's just giving me something to chase.
Or I really like the challenges or whatever. Like it's like collect the, you know, 50 bugs or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like, all right, yeah, like I like to watch meters fill up. Like I don't know why, like, but something psychologically is like, yes, I need to get that meter all the way to the end. And oh, look, this one's halfway there. I'm going to go fish for an hour to get 25 more fish.
Right. And it's also like with the leveling, it's like every time I level up, it unlocks new and exciting things, right? You get new characters, you get new crafting stuff. And then when you hit level 10, like more, like way more features open up too. Cool. So
yeah, I'm going to keep playing. Like it's going to be something like I got 10 minutes and I'm not doing anything. I'm going to pop it open, like get some fruit, catch some bugs, talk to a couple people, and then shut it down. Maybe I don't pop it back on for another week or so, but
yeah, I think I will keep it on my phone. Like I think I will keep playing, like and picking at it.
Like definitely more than like Miitomo or
You want to talk about a game where I didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing?
I have no idea what that thing was.
It's long gone from my phone.
Yeah, that was such a weird thing.
I will say this game drains my battery like a motherfucker.
I mean, it looks good. It's a really good looking game. Like in terms of like Animal Crossing, like it looks like a real Animal Crossing game. Like it doesn't look like they skimped on that. But you know, Super Mario Run also looked really good. How did Fire Emblem look? I didn't play Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem was not great. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it didn't look like a Fire Emblem game. It just looked kind of like a 2D flat chess game or tactics game. And then it had like anime, you know, like the Fire Emblem like attack poses and stuff would show up as like fully drawn sprites and stuff when you would attack or defend and stuff like that. But otherwise, everything was sort of like chibi looking.
Okay.
There are people still apparently real into that. I follow some people on Twitter who I do just not understand.
Like really into that Fire Emblem?
What was it? Like they love the gacha stuff, you know, like just the that slot machine.
We'll talk about slot machines shortly, or maybe not slot machine. I don't know. We'll talk about it. All right. What else? People play besides Battlefront.
I played Pokemon.
Okay, the new one, the Ultra
Sun and Moon. Yeah. I played Ultra Sun, which was the one I had last time.
So you had Sun the last time as well.
Yep, and I didn't feel like changing it up.
So is it?
Let's have a true up there. I was trying to think of the next sentence there, and I couldn't.
It's awful. You hated it. Every minute of it was.
Like it's fine so far. I'm only past the first island in the very beginning of the game, and it does sort of like streamline a bit at the beginning of the game. Thank God, because that like more than any other Pokemon game, this thing fucking drags in the beginning. And they kind of streamlined that a little bit.
Who is your starter?
I chose Popplio this time. Because last time I chose the fire one. Litten. Yeah.
Because the cat was awesome.
Yeah. But I wanted to try something different this time.
Fair enough.
And there is some new story stuff, so that's kind of neat. Helps change it up a little bit. I'm not really sure where that's going yet. Otherwise, I haven't, like, I don't know, it's still Pokemon. Like, there's not a whole lot different so far. because I've only played maybe like 2 or 3 hours.
Right, and from what I hear is like where it really changes is in the end game, like where the old gym leaders show up or something.
Yeah, the battle tower, and there's I guess this mini game that helps you catch shiny Pokemon a lot easier than you ever could before.
Okay.
Which is cool, but yeah, I've put it aside for now because I bought a couple other games yesterday on the Steam sale that I would rather check out.
All right.
Excuse me.
Well, that's Pokemon. I have Ultra Sun as well. I just haven't played it yet, so. All right, what else we got here?
I played an hour of Battleship Brigade.
Okay.
What is that?
I actually talked about this game, I guess, a year ago.
Okay.
When I went to PAX West in Seattle, it was a part of Adult Swim's booth. They were publishing it.
Okay.
And it's this, like, anime. It's like if Iron Chef was a match-3 anime game.
Yes, I do remember you talking about this.
Yes.
It sounded pretty cool.
And I don't know if you've listened to this week's Bombcast, but they go pretty deep on it as well there. And stuff. But I've only played the first, just 1 hour. And it's super charming. The art is amazing. It has this very Studio Ghibli sensibility about it, like in the way that the architecture is drawn and the music and just sort of like the general tone of the game is that sort of like, yeah, there's conflict, but there's conflict because like people are because people are competing, not because they're trying to hurt each other or, you know, everybody is sort of like they're supportive of each other and still trying to make their way in the world and like, I don't know what the word of it is, but yeah, it's charming. And the gameplay is fun. Like you go out hunting for your ingredients. You go out and you fight the monsters, you kill the monsters, and you take, you know, their meat and their parts and make them into and each one has, like, different parts of the match-3 puzzle. Like, some are red, some are blue, some are green, some are combinations of them. And, you know, you mix and match it to make stronger gems or whatever, you know, stronger greens, stronger blues, stronger reds, and whatever. And there's, some, I guess, an equipment aspect to the game that I haven't really gotten too deep into because I've only played 2 battles so far, and they haven't like brought that system up yet. But I'm excited to play a lot more of it over the next few days.
Okay. That sounds cool. Let's see. I played some Skyrim on the Switch.
Yeah, dog.
Why?
Why not?
Have you played it on like 4 other systems now?
Sure, I own it on like everything.
and it's awesome on everything.
Yeah, and guess what? It's pretty awesome playing it as a handheld because that's the only way I'm going to play it. Like I am not going to put this thing and play it on my TV like docked. Like I have other ways of doing that will look better. Like I have the Xbox One version from last year that looks amazing.
Yeah, that's like, why I didn't.
Get I mean, amazing one. As in for Skyrim, but.
Sure, it's amazing as a game that's 6 years old can look now.
Right. But
yeah, it still looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's a decent looking game. It's fun. Like it works well as a handheld, and I played about an hour of it. Got through like that opening section. I will say this, for the game, I was playing it and it was sunny out, and that game is really dark. Like in at points, there are other points where it's fine. Like when you're out in the open and it's daytime and it's like colorful. But there are also points where you're in caves or, and if the sun is hitting it, you can't see shit. It's like you have to like really kind of like tilt it to kind of like, there's a glare off of that screen if you are outside. And, it's fun. I will have that game in my like portable Switch case when I go places, like just to pop it on, play a couple quests here and there. it seems to work well for that. So it's cool.
Yeah, I thought about it. Believe me.
And it has amiibo support.
It has like Zelda like.
Yeah, like armor and shit, like if, right? if you have Zelda amiibo, there's like a chance that it'll drop Zelda armor, like specifically, you know, like the Zelda tunic or the hat or the shield and like stuff like that. And then if other amiibo like will drop like other like potions and stuff. So if you have a lot of amiibo, you could probably really manipulate the system, which you can also do in Zelda. So there's that as well. But yeah, it's cool. The Switch is, I don't love it in handheld. I don't love the system as a handheld, but like that Skyrim works on it. I think Mario Kart works really well on it. Mario Kart probably is the best mobile game, I think, for it, like handheld version.
I do think it's like, it's almost an upgrade from the Vita, though, too. Like, it's super nice display and everything. Like, oh, yeah. It's top-notch handheld, dude.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It's a little bit heavier than maybe I'd want for, like, long handheld sessions, which is where my problem with it with Zelda is because, like, Zelda, you don't just sit down and play Zelda for 5-10 minutes, right? Like, you can't.
Well, this one they do have like you can find a shrine, do a shrine. Like,
if you can find a shrine that quickly,
like you're doing a lot of wandering. There, Hefe. Like I think it is
more a bite sized Zelda, despite the fact that it's like open world. But anyways,
sure, maybe more than like other console Zeldas.
For sure, I think like 3D ones, especially.
Right, because I mean, there are portions in like, I mean, we were talking about Twilight Princess last week, like
that game, it's slog. Just, yeah, like, you gotta do all this really boring shit and keep track of it.
Yeah,
to even get going. Yeah,
and this doesn't have that, but it also doesn't feel like, because it's so open ended that like there's, if you find a quest, if you find a shrine, or you find like if you can. Like finish up a piece of one of your quests quickly, yeah, it's fine. But a lot of times you are just kind of like out in the world and doing stuff. So, but Skyrim, I think, works pretty well because those quests are normally like, you know, there aren't too many ones that are super long that'll take you like, you know, half hour, 45 minutes or an hour to do. And once you unlock some fast travel points, you can move around. But I still think Mario Kart is the best mobile game for that system. So that game, that's such a perfect use of it. You pop it on, and like 10 minutes, you're done. You can be done one of the cups.
I do personally really like Mario Rabbids for that as well, because like,
yeah,
you do it one battle at a time.
Yeah, you could go in, do a battle, and then shut it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's Skyrim on the Switch. It's Skyrim. If you like Skyrim, there you go. What else we got? Tony, you got anything besides Battlefront?
No.
Okay. Jeff, you played South Park.
Yes. I
want to hear about South Park.
Okay, so I thought you got it.
I have South Park. I haven't played it yet.
What?
I got it at the same time I got Wolfenstein.
Okay, so it was
part of Target's like buy two get one free thing.
Okay.
And I just finished Wolfenstein recently.
Okay, well, I think you should look forward to South Park. I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
I've played it for maybe 4 hours so far. I liked the first one, but I remember going back to play the first one this year, and for whatever reason, I like, could not get drawn into it.
That was something that I was worried about, too, because like you had said, you'd gone back to it, and it didn't really hold up. And I was kind of like South Park was that game I kind of threw in, like, because I needed another game.
Yeah, and like this is, like I was not totally expecting to love it, but so far I'm like really enjoying it. Like, I do think that the like changes to like the battle system are kind of neat. Like, it kind of feels like it's. There's a little bit of Mario plus Rabbids mixed in, like that strategy element. Since you're on a grid,
okay,
and you can only go in certain directions. You have to think about positioning and where you're going to land, or like where you are in relation to an enemy in order to like whether you could hit them. So like, I don't know. It adds a little bit to that very simple, like kind of Paper Mario combat,
right?
You know, I just think it gets going a little bit quicker too than
the last one,
or just most RPGs as well. Yeah, like it's just, yeah, there's a little bit of kind of tutorial style stuff, but you can kind of skip it if you want. And just once you get into it, it's just kind of throwing a bunch of stuff at you. I do think that the map is like the same though, man. Like, it's exactly the same as Stick of Truth, which makes sense.
Yeah, because like it takes place in South Park. Like,
yeah.
Like, do they maybe add anything outside of?
I mean, from what I can see so far, and again, going somewhat based on memory, like I don't think so. It looks exactly the same, but there's also like a whole bunch of areas, you know, that are part of the original map that are like gated off right now that I can't go to, but. I don't know, like, I just think it's, like, if you just feel slicker and more streamlined and just, like, snappier and faster, like, I'm just having a lot of fun with it. Like, I'm laughing at it, I'm fucking enjoying the combat. I think I do have it on Ultra White Skin, which is the easiest mode. It's good, I'm really enjoying it. Like, it's, I would totally recommend it to people that like the first one, that like South Park, that want to play a fun little, like, kind of like slower-paced RPG. Like, it's fun.
Okay. Well, now I'm more interested in playing it now.
I'm telling you, I'm really enjoying this game.
You also played another game. That maybe you didn't enjoy it as much. I don't know if you finished playing, but you got the Evil Within 2.
Yeah, I've not finished it, unless if like by finished you mean I'm not gonna play it ever again. Yeah, I got the Evil Within 2, and I don't like it that much at all. I don't know.
I saw you post the most ridiculous video clip of you just running through a bunch of guys into like the safe area.
I was probably proud of that. I finally made it past them by running. Yeah, it's like, I don't know, dude. Like, I don't know what to make of this like series. Like, I did not think the first one was very good, and a lot of people are like, this one is so much better. And I'm like, it's kind of the same but worse. You know, like, yeah, it's by the guy that made Resident Evil 4, right?
Right, yes.
Shinji Mikami, yeah. Though I heard he didn't direct this one. He was just, like,
producing. I feel... He's just what?
I think he just produced it. I'm not sure. But he was involved.
Right, and he's the one that came up with the first one, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, he was director on the first one, yeah.
I just don't feel like it feels like that type of Resident Evil game, but like nowhere near as polished. I don't think. And it's also like just like bizarre and weird and abstract type shit, which like I think that part of it is cool, but there's just so many problems, I think, with the fundamentals of that game. Like, you always feel like underpowered in horror games, but like in this, I think it's just like 10 times worse. I don't know, like, it's just like, and you're trying to aim at something and it keeps like fucking moving around, and you only have two bullets, And even if you get headshots with both those bullets, the thing might not die. I don't know.
That sounds shitty.
I mean, that kind of describes like a Resident Evil game, right? Yeah. But this, I just feel like it's worse. Like it's tuned wrong, like a little bit. Like where, like even if you're playing on normal, it's kind of super difficult. Like you get 4 headshots out of the 6 bullets you have, and the thing still doesn't die. You're like, okay, what the fuck, dude? I'm getting headshots. What better do you want me to do here? Especially where the thing wiggles around and your reticle also moves around, like sways around. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
It seems built for like playing in like a stealth style, right? But like
the stealth kind of sucks.
Yeah, like I don't think it's very good, honestly. Like, it's okay, I guess. But there's so many better options. Like, if you want to play, like, a cool survival horror game, we got Resident Evil 7 this year. Like, that game was actually really good, you know? So, yeah, like, I probably could put, like, 3 or 4 hours into it, but, like, I don't want to play it anymore. Like, every time I play it, I'm just mad the entire time I'm playing it.
All right, well, that's a glowing endorsement from Jeff for this game.
Which you would have thought I would have liked it. Like, I like horror games. I like that style of Resident Evil game. I actually enjoy. So, I don't know.
Huh. All right. Well, you bought Assassin's Creed. Did I hear that correctly?
I did. It's downloading at the moment.
Oh, you bought it digitally.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Serious. It's commitment, Jeff.
Well, I bought Injustice. Whatever.
I'm probably going to try and get that for Christmas.
Injustice?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, $20 on Xbox sounded like the right price for me, so.
I may break on that one, too.
Yeah. All right. I played about 4 hours of Nier Automata. I don't know how to pronounce it. That game. So it's Pete talked about it previously. It's a sequel to Nier, which is a game that very few people played.
I didn't play it. I'll tell you that much. Is it a
sequel to something? I had no idea.
There was a game that came out on the PS3 called just Nier.
Yeah, PS3 and 360. It was called Nier. It was
on 360? I thought it was.
Yeah, it was on both.
Oh, my bad.
It was a action RPG. Took place in like this dilapidated world. I don't know. Whatever. It's not important. That game was okay. Cool world. Interesting way of playing. Like you had to play it twice to kind of get the full story. So I guess it's kind of the same here, Pete, right? Like,
I guess I couldn't tell you how it works with the original Nier.
Well, like you would get like the whole story by playing it twice, but like in this one, Pete described it to me before we started playing. There's like multiple acts. So you play as, this character 2B who I'm playing as right now. She is the, anime-ass looking character that everybody probably associates with the game, right? Like very revealing skirt, very anime-esque, almost like goth anime to a point, I guess. Like,
oh yeah, black. I mean the whole game sort of drips with that aesthetic.
Yeah, I think the character designs are really well done. But yeah, so you play as her. She is a android. And you're like fighting these robots on Earth because humanity has left Earth and moved to the moon or something. I don't know. It's an action game, I guess. I don't know. It's a weird. It's hard to describe how the because. So you have like a light attack and a heavy attack with your sword, but you also have a ranged attack that you can like press with R1 that like, cause you have like this little robot buddy that follows you around and can shoot pods out of it. And and then like you can equip things onto that pod so it like has a special attack, and I don't know. It's what I've played of it so far seems cool. Like,
yeah, it's going to be real generic anime for the first act. Like, it's just in terms of like the plot, and mm-hmm. a lot of what's interesting about it is the setting and the side quests. And then acts 2 and 3 are where it sort of takes off into the direction that you keep hearing everybody talk about.
Yeah, like, I mean that's kind of what everybody like. Everybody talks about how great the story is, and like so far it's like this is okay, I guess. Like yeah, it's okay. it's pretty standard anime bullshit. Like
yep.
Just fine. Like it. What I actually am enjoying about it is the weird cross of genres that the gameplay runs with. So the game starts off, you're not even controlling your third person character, you're controlling like a ship, and the game starts off as like a shooter,
like a twin stick.
Well, yeah, almost like a or like an arcade shooter like Gradius or Galaga or something like that. Like it's actually pretty cool, like top down arcade style shooter, and then you start playing as that as the character. But the bosses and stuff also have this kind of like bullet hell mechanic to them, where they are like throwing waves of energy at you, and some of that can be destroyed, some of it has to be avoided. So you're doing like interesting platforming around it or trying to take them out with your ranged weapon. So some of that is like really interesting and fun. The combat itself is kind of meh.
Yep.
It's really drab. Like it's, as I said, like there's a light attack and a heavy attack, and it doesn't really seem like that stuff. Like you can't really like combo very well with it. Like I guess there's some light comboing, but not like God of War stylish or
yeah, it really doesn't do a whole lot for itself there.
But it's I don't know, it's been fun so far. Yeah, the environment is interesting. I've just met up with some like interesting little friendly robots.
Yeah. Pascal, his arc is insane.
Well, so like you're introduced like early on in that game, like you are fighting the robots. Like the robots are bad. So, like, I was killing everything I came across. And then I got to this amusement park, and, like, all the robots seem happy, and they're, like, playing with balloons. And it's like, I wonder if I can just walk by, because all the other robots seem to, like, get angry when I got near them, so they would attack. Or I would attack them, and they would get angry. And so, like, I just walked. I didn't kill anybody in this until I got to this point where they're like, it's dangerous once you get to the spot.
And, oh, you had to fight the tank?
Yeah, there was a tank, like 9S, who is your like scout bitch buddy. Point. Yeah. he's like, "Oh, we should destroy this tank." And like thinking of it now, it's like maybe I shouldn't have destroyed that tank, cuz the tank didn't really seem like it was doing anything except blowing confetti out of its cannon. But I don't know if you had to destroy it to move on, or
I'm not actually sure, cuz I just went in and I was like, "All right, I'm going to fuck this thing up."
Right, like, because that's kind of how the game presents it, but I almost...
Right, and I actually think that's supposed to be a commentary on the player and their reaction, and like, oh, hey, you didn't even bother to see if it was okay, man. You just tried to rip this thing to shreds.
Right, because it's like, oh, well, here's what you're supposed to do, and, like, the game is telling you to do it, so you just went and did it. But it's interesting. Like, it does bring up some interesting stuff once you start talking to these robots, and you start... You know, are all these robots bad? Are you bad? Like, do you have a soul? Like, it starts getting interesting in the way that, like, you can play with stuff. So we'll see. I'm gonna keep playing it. I, you know, as Pete said, like that game has a really cool story, and you get to more of it as you know, get to more of the interesting stuff as the game ends, but. We'll see. So I'm playing it, trying to get it in before Game of the Year time. So, I also finished Wolfenstein. Game's okay. I don't know. I think I'm with Jeff. Like, it's okay.
I'm not even going to bother then.
I wasn't blown away by it. I do, like, I think last week I was, like, commenting on the gameplay. Like, I really didn't like shooting anything in that game.
Right. That doesn't change.
It does once you get a shotgun.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The shotgun's incredible.
Shotgun is so much fun. Like, stuff just, like, blows up. Like, that shotgun is one of the best feeling shotguns I've ever shot. But everything else in that game, like, shoots like shit, I think. But once you get that shotgun, like, it is a blast to play with. But yeah, like, I think, like, it's a little bit lacking on, like, the boss battles, like, which were, I think, better in, was it the New Order?
Yeah, I would agree there.
I don't know, I like the way it ends, like, it just kind of, like,
Did you see the after credits scene?
Yes, I think.
It like continues from the point of view of the television.
From the point of view of, I don't know. I like sat all the way through the credits, but
oh, and then there should have been a tiny scene afterwards.
Hmm.
It was like a wedding scene or something, I think.
Yeah, proposal.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Because I didn't know that was there, and then I happened to just go to YouTube, and they were like after credits scene. I was like, shit.
Yeah, I always let the credits roll anyway.
I couldn't stand that song, so.
Yeah, like, that was a weird choice, too. Like, this doesn't really fit with this game, but it's okay. I wasn't blown away by the story.
The crazy parts. Remember, like, everyone was, there's so these crazy parts. Like, there's cool parts, but, like, I think I got overhyped going into it, so like I expected more out of those parts.
Maybe I wasn't blown away by anything, right? Like
I wasn't either. I was like, that's cool. Well,
there's one moment that I was kind of like, oh, that's cool. Like,
yeah.
But it was just like, oh, that's cool. Like because I did something and then I died after doing it, but I also got an achievement for doing it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about,
and it's really cool. Like. It's like, you know what? That's neat that they put that in there. Like, you can't play it that way because you have to continue the story, but they knew you wanted to do it, and they let you do it, and yeah. It definitely feels like a middle chapter game.
Yeah.
Like... especially even the way the game ends, like after the credits, like it loops back and you're back on the ship and you can like continue to go and do missions and hunt down.
Yeah. Those missions, by the way, are bad.
Are they? Didn't try them. I was done.
I did one. There's like an achievement for doing one and for cracking one of the codes on the, what is it? The
Enigma machine.
The Enigma machine, yeah. And the first one I tried, I like failed because it didn't tell me how to do it. But then I quickly figured out, like, oh, okay, you gotta like, you know, you gotta match the code with the puzzle at the bottom. But yeah, they're fun enough, and like the missions are bad when you go and you're trying to like take down the other Nazi leaders, like. It's just a dungeon crawl against like bad enemies, doing more shooting with no like real story to it. So
yeah, and I mean, I guess it unlocks like new equipment and shit, but like, who cares?
But like the reason that I was playing that game wasn't to play the game.
right.
I mean, I'm glad I played it though. Like I enjoyed where the story went and how it got there, and I am interested to see, and I hope they do get to make a third one. I'm worried about it.
Yeah.
Because it does not sound like it sold very well at all, but...
considering how they're giving it away now.
Yeah, it's $30 right now.
Yeah, and it's...
You know, it's and for all you bitches out there complaining about single-player games and stuff, man.
This is a single-player game, right? Like, and a decent one. It's not like I wouldn't say it's like the best single player game I played all year, but it's good enough. So there's that.
Wait, what was that? What game? Yeah. Wolf I bought it.
Same. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we bought it. We played it. We're done.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. Does anybody want to hear about Lego Batman, the movie, Lego Dimensions set? No? Okay.
No.
I think I'm done with Lego Dimensions now. I played all the sets that I have, and they're fun. The Portal one was the best one.
Oh, I love that one.
It's like a little Portal game. It's so good. I played about 2 hours of Super Mario RPG on the Super Nintendo. That game's rough now. Like, it's hard to go back to. Like, it's like baby's first RPG. And maybe not in a good way, but that's all I'm going to say on that. I'll play more of it, but I'm looking forward to like playing more of the modern Mario RPG stuff. And I guess we finally need to talk about Battlefront.
Battlefront.
Yeah, I happened to take a look at the. Actually, never mind. I won't talk about that. But
what?
Nothing. I looked at our Game of the Year stuff, and I saw it in places I was not expecting it.
Okay. Like where?
No, where? Don't spoil it.
That's why I was like, I tried to catch myself there.
We shouldn't talk about that on air. You're right. But Tony, you've been playing. Did you finish the campaign? Did you play the campaign?
I have only played the campaign. Okay. I haven't finished it. I'm pretty sure I'm close to the end.
I mean, I've heard it's like a single sitting kind of campaign. So,
yeah, no, it's not long.
It's short. It took me 2 sittings.
Yeah.
It's my like sittings have 5 hours.
It's all been like an hour long. So.
Yeah, so it would probably take you a couple more, but.
It's exactly what I expected. It's, you know, awesome-looking Star Wars action. I get to fly around in an X-Wing or a TIE Fighter and blow shit up, and it looks awesome.
Sounds great.
The sound is great, yeah. The story is meh. There's a plot that keeps it moving along, I guess. But other than that, it's kind of like just an excuse to get you to play as Leia or Luke or, you know, Han Solo.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I think those are the worst missions.
Because you're like you're so overpowered, you're just like killing everything and doing whatever it asks you to do. It's not like when you're actually playing as what's the main character's name?
Eden.
Eden.
Iden Versio or Eden Versio.
She's cool. She's got some cool abilities. There's some nice stealth sequences with her, where if you can actually manage to like not get found, it plays pretty cool.
It's pretty satisfying even when you get in a firefight. Like, even the AI is kind of terrible.
Yeah, it is pretty dumb, which was, again, what I was expecting.
Yeah, like, but also, who cares? Like, it's fun shooting stormtroopers, or if you are a stormtrooper, shooting rebels. Like, it's so enjoyable. Like, who cares if they're smart?
Flying the TIE fighter, I think, feels really natural.
Yeah.
Like, it feels really good. Like, the one stick is the throttle, and the other one, you're just kind of pointing at which direction to go, and it just feels how it's supposed to feel. And I always have this thing where in any game, where if I'm, like, flying something, and it, like, spins or flips, and I start to feel disoriented, I think, finally, maybe it's the 4K resolution, so that, like, I don't feel that, like, dizziness, and, like, I feel like I'm still, like, in control of where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of feels better.
I actually really liked how the stuff flew, and you know, having played Battlefields before, I've never felt flying in those games was great.
Yeah,
but and maybe it's like a lot of times you are not. Like, those games are stuck with, you know, you are in an Earth environment where you can't go too high because your ship will stall out, or you can't go too low because you'll crash in the shit. And this is often like space.
Yeah. You run into except like an enemy ship.
Yeah, like there's ships, sometimes there's asteroids, but it's like you can actually like fly and have be able to like kind of control yourself. Again, you have as you said, the acceleration is on the left stick. You kind of have your steering on the right stick, and then you can roll using the left stick too. So you can like right your ship, and it's fun. It's so much fun. Like
it feels natural. It feels good. Like it's hard to.
Oh, like shooting something and blowing it up at close range, and that explosion you get as you fly through it is like exhilarating. It's a blast. So you haven't played any of the multiplayer yet?
Not yet. I will try it, but not yet.
So single player wise, you're nearing it. What heroes have you played as so far?
I just started the mission where you play as the black dude whose name I can't remember.
Lando?
Lando, yes.
Okay, you're pretty close to the end. You got a couple more missions.
Yeah.
The way that game ends is weird. There are no credits.
Ooh.
After the
game. Because it's not finished, right?
Well,
there's like a sequence at the end that takes place after the.
And so there is a mission that should be the end of the game. Like there is a scene at the end of that mission that ends the game, but then there is a 12th mission that takes place like years later. That doesn't feel right. Like that should have been like an after credits thing. And I think you'll probably feel the same way once you get to it. Like there should have been 11th mission, credits, 12th mission, which will then set up the DLC, which is coming in mid-December.
Yeah, like right after The Last Jedi.
Right before The Last Jedi, which is sketchy for me. One, there is there are rumors online about that deal with things that point to The Last Jedi and characters that are in the movie and not in this game, but that tie back to this game maybe. And I'm not liking any of those rumors at all. So I just don't think that something that, because it's, I don't know how important it is, but it relates to an important character in these new movies. And I don't think that it should tie back to a
video game.
Media.
All right, I'm going to read this plot. Game. Let's see.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil it for you though. So, that's the campaign. I ended up being like, it's okay. It's fun. It's Star Wars.
Yeah, it's exactly what I wanted.
But then I started playing the multiplayer, and at first I was like, this is shit. Like, that was my first impression. Like, I'm getting slaughtered. This is unfair. People have better cards than I do. Which is all still true. So, very true. But I don't think the cards are as important as they seem. So you have these star cards, which were part of Battlefront 1 as well. These star cards are, you have three special abilities. You have them in the single player as well. You can equip different abilities on Iden, and she, she can do different cool things with them. Like you have a better thermal detonator or a shotgun type thing, which is pretty cool. You can get those things in multiplayer for your character. And some of those star cards are actually like you can upgrade them kind of Gears of War style, Gears of War 4 style, and make the thermal detonator like have 30% more range on it and more damage. So like Dude A's thermal detonator could be stronger than your thermal detonator, which is kind of shitty. But to get that thermal detonator, to get it upgraded to that point, you have to play like to be level 15. So they put the time in. Like, I don't know. I feel that there is a progression there. It's not, it's so convoluted though. Like, what weapons are tied to rank. So as you rank up, you'll unlock new weapons. Star cards are gotten by either buying loot crates with in-game currency or completing challenges and getting crafting materials and then using those crafting materials to make cards, which can then be applied. So each character, so there's different classes. We'll use the Trooper class, which is who I'm playing as. The Trooper class starts out at card level 0. And every card you have for the Trooper, your card level for that character goes up. You need 10 cards for the Trooper to have all three card slots. So that's 400 crafting units or whatever the fuck it is, that would allow you to unlock all of them. But to unlock like the second level of the thermal detonator, you need to have, you need to be card level, whatever. Plus you need to have be rank 15, in like your overall rank. So you can't just be like, all right, I'm going to have like the strongest thermal detonator right out the bat. Unless those cards come in the packs, which I haven't seen yet. So, and maybe they do. I don't know. But everything has cards associated with it. Your spacecraft, your heroes, your
that sounds your horrible
classes. Yeah, it's weird.
But I think, yeah, it's like not even pay to win. It's like pay for a chance to win.
No, you can't. Yeah. You can't buy them anymore.
Well, no, right, but
there's no paying.
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking back to before. Right. So it's not even that. So now you're just sort of stuck.
It's just random. Random to win.
Yeah. It's very much random. But you're right, Pete. Like if they were allowing people to buy the loot boxes, it would be like pay for a chance to maybe have a better chance to win. Like, it's like there's like 27 qualifications on their system. And it's weird. There is credits, which you get from playing the game or completing challenges, some challenges. Some of those are like, Tony, when you finish, you should end up with like $5,000 in credits.
Right, yeah.
Just from playing the campaign.
I saw I was getting a lot of credits for not doing very much.
Yeah. And then there are crystals, which I don't know what they are, but I have 15 of them now. I think they may be the real world.
Yes, I think they are
currency. So they're still in the game, because you can get them from doing challenges. For certain challenges give you crystals, but I guess there's no way to like get enough of them. Like you can't buy more crystals at this point because they shut that shit down. And then there is the crafting materials. Which you can use to craft new cards. Then there is a fourth currency.
I mean, I was just about to mention how, like, I think you've been talking for the past 10 minutes just strictly about the progression in multiplayer, yeah, and that says a lot.
It's so weird. But then there's a fourth currency that takes place in-game. So, like, when you're playing a match, you're getting what they call battle points. These battle points can then, so like, I played some Starfighter Assault today, right? And that's the vehicle, objective-based vehicle combat multiplayer mode. As you're playing, if you're playing the objective, like you're getting points. If you're shooting down enemy fighters, you're getting points. Like everything you do, you'll get points for. If you get enough points, you can then use special ships. Or if you're playing in like regular combat type, like where you're a player, you can then use that to play as heroes. So in Starfighter Assault, we were playing as the Empire, and if you got up to like 3,000 credits, you could spawn as Darth Vader's TIE Fighter, which has, you know, better health and better like specials that it can do. This is also applies to like the blast mode, which is team deathmatch, the strike team mode, which is like their objective based game mode, and galactic assault, whatever their big team battle mode is. That's like 20 on 20. And with that, you can then spawn as like different heroes. I don't know if that applies to the heroes that you can buy, because there are heroes you can buy, but there's also heroes that you can play in these modes that aren't in heroes versus villains, which is specifically heroes versus villains. I don't like that mode, heroes versus villains. It's kind of shitty. I'll never play it again. I played it enough that I got a win, and if you get a win, you get an achievement. And I don't think I ever have to play that mode again.
Yeah,
it's shitty. And if you don't have somebody on your team that has a one of the unlocked characters to like you have enough characters to start with. I think there's like 12 characters, and 8 of them are unlocked to start with. But Darth Vader's not, Luke Skywalker's not, or maybe it's like maybe there's 6. I don't know.
I think it's what they say. Darth Maul is 1. I don't know.
Darth Maul is unlocked at the start. Kylo Ren is unlocked at the start. Han Solo is unlocked at the start. Rey is unlocked. Yoda is unlocked. Like there are more unlocked than there are locked heroes. But like the ones that you probably want to play as Vader.
Well, I'm actually surprised that like the characters from the new movies aren't locked. That seems like something they would try to do.
Yeah, they like Rey and Kylo Ren are available right from the get-go. But if you don't have somebody that has one of those like unlocked characters, you're assured of losing.
Oh, great.
It's like I played like 4 or 5 matches, and every single time I was on a team where nobody had any of the special characters, and we got our asses handed to us like super quick. And then as soon as we got somebody that could have like had Luke Skywalker unlocked and Chewbacca unlocked, we like rolled through them.
Oh, weird. So there is like a steep power imbalance there.
Yeah. So like the other team had like Boba Fett and Darth Vader and the Emperor, and like they were just like rolling us. And well, I mean, some of that could be like maybe they're just that good, but it definitely seemed unfair. Like, These are characters that you have to unlock. They have them, and they're kicking our ass.
Right, and if that's the case, like yeah, that seems, I mean, like it's less of a skill deficit. Like if you were losing up until the point that you got somebody with a similar hero as them, and then things evened out, like that's not a skill like metric. That's
just, well, no, like, and it wasn't even like, so the next match, like the one that we won, we had somebody like. We had 2 people that had the unlockable characters, and the other team had none of them. So they're running around with like Kylo Ren, Darth Maul, Dengar, and somebody else. And like,
did you just fucking steamroll them?
Oh yeah, we beat them. Like, so it starts out 10-10. You have to kill every, like, there's targets. Like they go, okay, you're the next target. So it's like VIP or whatever. Each team has a target. You're trying to kill their target first. It was even for like the first 3, and then we just steamrolled them. Like, we ended up winning 7-0 at the end of it. So, yeah, that's a bad mode. But you earn credits fast enough. I don't know if maybe there's like a boost this weekend, but I have like 23,000 credits right now, so I can unlock like Vader and. Like one of the other ones, and almost a third one, like, because Iden Versio is not unlocked from the get go. She's 5 grand.
I can't believe that they didn't like just unlock her like just for beating the campaign and then give you the bonus 5,000.
That to me is like, I was like, what the fuck? Like that should have been who unlocked, like at the end, like, hey, you get Aiden. Like, you don't get her until you finish the campaign, but whatever. I like Blast. It's fun shooting people. If you played Battlefront 1, it's very simplistic. This is the same thing, like, multiplayer-wise. Like, it's not a deep shooter, but it's fun enough. I'm going to play a ton of that Starfighter Assault, though. That mode is a blast.
Because these Starfighters are awesome to fly around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like that, like, the Starfighter thing is the thing I've heard even from, like, streamers or other people who are playing, who have tried to play the game and stuff, and all the reviews mention them and stuff, and it sucks that, like, this game is so caught up in its own bullshit that, like, the stuff that's worth appreciating just gets drowned out.
Yeah, and I do think that a lot of it is DICE and EA's fault on not explaining how any of this works. Like, one, your real life currency was stupid. Like, I'm not saying there shouldn't be a way for you to buy stuff like that, because in all games now there almost always is. But your progression in the game is so convoluted and backwards that people don't understand it, so they just figure, oh, well, you put this pay, like, you know, you allow people to buy loot boxes, it must be pay to win. No, it's just, like, pay to, like, have a chance to maybe have something win. You don't have any idea what's going on. None of it makes sense. It's fucking confusing. So, like, DICE and EA tripped over their own feet here by making the progression way too complicated. They should have simplified it. It should have been, you know, Call of Duty or even regular Battlefield style progression.
There were models for this type of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Models that DICE themselves had, like, that they used already. Like, DICE makes these types of games that they've already done. Like, they had Battlefield 1 last year. That has a fine progression system. Why didn't we continue to use that? I think you could even buy loot boxes in that. I'm pretty sure that you could buy, like, the weapon crates. Then I know you could, like, buy the, like, progression packs. Like, you could spend $15 or whatever and unlock, like, all the stuff for the medic from the get-go. But instead, they made, like, something confusing, and Star Wars is attached to it, so it has more eyes on it, I guess. And now the government wants to get involved.
Right. Oh, Hawaii.
Hawaii Belt? Was it Belgium? Was that the other one?
Yeah, the EU there. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see if it just becomes, like, with the government involvement, like, you just need to publish your odds. Or, like, there needs to be, like,
Hawaii was talking a ban.
That's never going to go anywhere, because that, like, I don't think they can, like, even if they did, like, if you're banning certain types of commerce, like they can't even, like, they can, the most they could do is put pressure on the ESRB to, like, force games like put the ESRB in a position where they would have no choice but to rate games like that at an M rating, so legally they couldn't be sold to children.
Well, here's the problem, though. Children can still play these games, and they can still buy the packs online, so it's allowing children to gamble, which is where they kind of get into this.
Right, but, like, just like with the M-rated thing, like, it's like this Band-Aid for a problem that nobody actually wants to address because it still makes everybody a lot of money. But, like, that's kind of how we...
Right, it's like, because
got around it the first time.
There is no legal precedent, right? Like, there's no legal standing that kids can't buy M-rated games. It's just the guideline. Right? Like there's nothing legally that says like a kid can't buy an app because the ESRB is a private.
Right.
There are states that have laws where kids can't.
Yes.
Right. Just like I think for movies and stuff, like you can get like fined or
right.
something if they're like.
And all it takes is a couple of states that have no skin in the game, like the Hawaiis of the world, where they don't have like big game development industries in those states to ban this stuff, and they're going to have to do it countrywide.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I could see an area where like state legislation passes where they don't allow games with that stuff to be sold in that area, which becomes complicated. But I still like
the ESRB.
Because like we tried to do this with violent video games, right? Where they wanted like the government wanted to put like warnings and taxes and shit, and like that went all the way up to the Supreme Court where they said no.
Right, so but that, like, that was a First Amendment issue. This is not a First Amendment issue.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I guess so. That is the difference here. Is like this. This is a. I really don't buy into the like. This is the, like we allow children to gamble if we do that.
No, it's a giant scare tactic.
But, I mean, I see where some people like oh, it's a slot machine. Except I put money in a slot machine and shit doesn't come out sometimes. Like, if I give you money for this, like maybe I don't like what comes out, but you gave me something.
Right. And like, I think that's where the difference lies that like everybody forgets is that you will always still get something. Just like, that's why like card packs are not considered gambling.
You can't make that argument because then a company making a slot machine can say, okay, you put in a quarter, I gave you back 2 cents.
Right.
Well, what's the difference between that and buying a pack of like baseball cards?
Well,
you don't know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, like, well that's like
that's
where
what we're saying.
Like or Magic cards or Pokemon cards, which are specifically targeted at like kids, right? Like I mean there are definitely adults that play Pokemon, but like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh and stuff like that are definitely targeted at a younger age range.
And unlike like Tops and Upper Deck and stuff for like their sports lines and or even their movie lines and stuff where they do like cards with autographs and cards with memorabilia and stuff. They publish odds, but Yu-Gi-Oh cards and Pokemon cards don't publish their odds. Like nobody gives a shit.
Right. Like oh that was where I was like, do we like if we're gonna allow government intervention in this, like
where did you
like do they need to like look at Magic cards, at Pokemon cards at blind boxes at Walmart, like of toys.
Yeah, my kids love those things.
Right, like you get like the mystery box. Like, hey, like oh, look, there's like Angry Birds Star Wars pack. Like, maybe I'll get a Darth Vader piggy this time. I don't know. Yeah.
Like the strongest thing I could see happening is like that there are more. Like, I don't know how many steps of verification you could put in to prevent a child from doing this. At some point, it comes down to the parent to not give their kid their credit card information, right? And, like, actually look at what their child is doing.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know about you, Chris, but I've had to turn off – well, I didn't have to turn off, but I turned off the – like, on my phone, mm-hmm. I could play, like, Plants vs. Zombies.
Right.
And I had to make sure that they can't just go in and buy anything.
Yeah, like I have it so that anytime that you want to buy anything on, because they all use my account.
Yeah.
But if they want, like if my son wants to buy something, like it will pull up like the iTunes password.
Yeah. No.
And he has to ask like either my wife or me to like, and normally I'm like, all right, tell me what it is and I'll buy it on my phone and then you can download it on your phone. So, like, I don't have to, like, put the password in on his phone or anything. But, same with the Xbox. Like, I have, like, and they don't play under my profile, but if they were to play under my profile, it asks for a 6-digit passcode to buy anything on Xbox.
So. Right. And maybe it comes down to just making sure that those settings are turned on by default instead of off. Right.
Sure, like,
but you know, like my, I don't know, like my brother, for example, he's obsessed with Overwatch, right? And he loves to like buy the loot boxes and like get the get the skins and all that stuff. You know, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, but I don't know. Is that gambling? Like, he still gets shit. Like, it's not necessarily the great shit, but
I don't
know. Also, doesn't gambling imply a greater return as well than
what? No.
No? I don't know. I'm thinking of, like, poker and casinos and stuff where, like, you put in money and the goal is to get more than what you put in, but...
Well, yeah, sure. Like, you're playing craps and you put money down and, like, if the roll comes out, like, there's 2-to-1 odds on whatever you just bet on. Like, so you're doubling your money. But there's also the ability for it to go bad on you and you don't get anything.
That I think that's what gambling implies, that potential to lose money.
Yeah, right. Sales state.
Like, I feel that this is a transaction where I don't know what I'm buying. And maybe, and I think they did this in China, right? Where it's like they had to, Blizzard had to publish the odds on the Overwatch, the blind boxes, the loot boxes. Like, they had to say, hey, like, your chance of getting a, you know, gold item or whatever, or X, and maybe that's the solution. Like, tell people right. The chance of getting.
And the funny thing is that, like, when it comes down to it, like, nobody, and like, or there are probably some people who do, but like, the people who are angry at this Battlefront thing, they don't give a shit about the kids. Like, no. they are not like, oh my god, children are gambling with these things and it's predatory and shit. They're just mad that, like, EA, like, fucked up their progression system in a way that they didn't want it, and so now they're using any argument they could possibly think of to push their agenda.
Yeah, that was the crazy piece here, right? It's like, oh, like, all these people are now, like, all these people who would normally be like, fuck the government, we don't want them involved in our video games, are now like, yeah, they need to get involved in this shit.
Right.
Because you think that, like, by the government getting involved, that this is going to disappear. Like, that they're not going to find some new way to take your money.
Right. All you got to do is look at Japan's pachinko machines, right? To, like, figure out what it was. Like, they were, like, gambling with pachinko machines was outlawed, or gambling for money with pachinko machines was outlawed. So what they gave you was, you put your coin in, and you would get these, like, balls or, like fake currency that you would then turn in for prizes of the same monetary value at, like, the place right next door. You know? And, I mean, you could buy, like, it was basically, like, just a store that ran off that currency. It was, like, it sold groceries and stuff and shit like that that you could just, like, buy with fake
this, like,
cryptocurrency. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. I just think that, like, people should have let the market decide and, like, stop fucking, like, blowing this out of proportion and stuff like that. Like,
one, the other thing is the market has decided, right? Like, the market's decided this is fine because EA has been doing this for years in their sports games.
Yep.
Right. Like, FIFA is making them so much money this year.
Right. Like, the Ultimate Team in FIFA, Ultimate Team in Madden, and Ultimate Team in hockey are huge money makers. And they've been going, like, this shit's been going on for years. Like, at least back to the 360 era. So, like, there was no problem. Is it because, like, oh, well, we didn't play sports games? Like, but this is a Star Wars game, so now we're pissed off, or now it's like, this is a Lord of the Rings game, so now we're pissed off. Like nobody, like, batted an eye when it was, like, Madden players getting fleeced for hundreds of dollars.
Now, what is, can you explain to me really quick what the Ultimate Team is? Because I've heard of it, but I don't actually know how the system works.
So basically, you'll have a team in Madden. You'll go in, you'll get a set of cards that will let you build your team to start off with. And then you can either, by completing tasks, playing games against other players, or actually buying the cards outright, you can, like, continue to build your team up.
Yeah. And so, are the cards, like, stat increases and stuff like that, or different players?
The cards are different players of different levels, sometimes stat bonuses, stadiums, like,
you know, contracts, because, like, the characters, yeah, the players expire after, like, 12 or 13 games or something. Oh, like, shit. That. So you need to add more time onto them. And
Damn, that is fucked up. That part, at least.
Yeah, so, like on the surface, it's like, you know, you're collecting... Like, think if you, like, what, Topps or Fleer or any of, like, the sports, like, card makers. Like, you take those cards and then they turn into, like, digital representations in Madden. But, like, your Dan Marino is only rated 70 because he's a bronze Dan Marino. But if you get the silver Dan Marino, he's rated 80. And if you get the gold Dan Marino, he's rated 90. But they're harder to get.
Right.
And I think over time, I don't know. I don't know how much you've ever played of it, Tony, but they haven't always had the auction house. Like, that's something that's recent in the last few years. Yeah, right. That's recent. Yeah. So like now you can like actually like put your cards up for sale to other players. Or you can bid on other players' cards and, like, there's a crazy, like, market going on behind the scenes with this stuff. But this has been going on for years now.
That's nuts.
Yeah. And it's, like, a huge, huge thing, so.
But, hey, don't put it in Star Wars, because that's objectionable.
Well, the kids.
Right. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. And I mean, Tony, you just said, like, you know, you've locked like your kids' devices so they can't buy shit, just like I have. But it's like, I don't know, that's on me. Like, if I'm gonna let my kid play Star Wars Battlefront and I don't set it up so that like they can't just go and buy $400 worth of, you know, packs or whatever.
Right.
That's my fault. And I know like EA and Microsoft have in the past, they've like refunded people for these stupid, and like Apple has done it too. And Google has done it. It's like, I don't know. I feel there should be some responsibility on the end user like as well. Like,
yeah,
don't let your kid buy shit, like set it up so that they can't. Do you remember the one from a couple years ago where the kid spent like $8,000 on a,
how does that even happen?
FIFA Ultimate. But it wasn't like a little kid. Like, you could almost think like, all right, like a little kid, like, can, you know, he keeps pressing the button, like, I'm going to keep buying it till I get what I want.
Right. Or he doesn't, or like somebody who doesn't even understand that, like, it's real money, like right, a 5-year-old or something.
This was like a 17-year-old kid that had somehow had his dad's like Visa card attached to his account. He spent like $8,000. On the game, and like the dad sued or was going to try and sue Microsoft and EA for allowing it to happen. Like one, how didn't you know that your kid, I fucking bought the Ezio trilogy last night, and Chase immediately contacted me and went like, yo, is this fraudulent? It's on Xbox Live. Like immediately. It's like, okay. I tried to buy Injustice right after that, and it was like, no. Like, this, you have a problem with your thing. And I checked my email, and it was like, yo, is this right? Like, should you be, is this an approved purchase?
Right, like, problems like this, like there are so many different ways to solve them. Like you said, like, credit card companies checking for outrageous amount of charges out of nowhere.
And that was a $20 charge. Like, Chase asked me over a $20 charge if it was wrong. Like $8,000 to Xbox Live. I hope Chase contacts me.
Right.
One, because that's way over the limit on my black card. I don't know.
I mean, like I said, I don't actually think this stuff in Hawaii will come with anything, but I could see Belgium doing something because, like, you know, EU is kind of where all that shit comes out in, like, a way that makes sense. You know, like, I was listening to the Giant Bombcast on Tuesday, you know, and like Europe is where the Steam refund stuff started, which eventually came over here and some other sort of like, you know, digital consumer protection sort of stuff.
And I'd like to see them figure it out. I I also don't think that it necessarily needs to be ripped out of the game. Like,
no, and like it's they're not going to go away, right? Like it the most, like I said, the best thing I could see happening is that like odds have to be published at right. best, or like okay, hey, you can't make it randomized anymore. So they just still shut. They just instead the list is 8,000 lines long of each individual item that you can buy for 99 cents. Like
right, right. It becomes the you know the horse armor of games yeah, now, where games now have like an 8,000 line attachment of add-ons.
Right. The Steam DLC pages like doesn't even fit anymore. Yeah.
Just keeps going. Like it's page after page. Oh well.
Games are stupid.
Yeah, they are. Are there new games coming out?
Battlefront was the last big one.
Well, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 comes out in December.
Battlefront was the last big one.
The unknown Battlefront.
Let me see.
I don't think anything else. Battlegrounds officially will launch sometime in December.
Oh, yeah, man. They're prepping some new weapons and shit. I'm so excited.
Destiny DLC in December.
Right, December 6th, right? Next 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yakuza Kiwami 2 is December 7th, which is the remake of Yakuza 2.
Okay.
Yes, like of a full
remake.
Yeah, that runs on the Yakuza 6 engine. Loco Roco Remastered is the 9th. Okami HD is the 12th.
Oh, that's this year.
Yeah. Dead Rising 4, like, game of the year nonsense.
For PS4.
Yes.
Except for PS4, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that their year exclusivity's up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really see anything else. I mean, maybe some indie games, I'm sure, but it seems like...
All right, so...
Even the quote-unquote big indie games have come out now.
So I guess we are in wrap-up mode.
Oh, thank God.
Where we are just wrapping up the games that we are going to talk about for Game of the Year, which we have a list going. We're not going to talk about that list right now, but...
That's confidential.
But we do.
Do we want to talk about when that stuff will go up, or
That stuff always goes up the week of Christmas, like that okay. that week.
Oh, that interim week there.
Yeah, so I think we have tentatively scheduled for recording of Game of the Year on the 21st. So
it's a Wednesday, right?
That is a Thursday. We can do the 20th if you guys want. That's a Wednesday.
No, actually, the 21st would work a lot better for me.
So. So that'll go up that weekend, and then the second half of that will go up the weekend after, which will bring us into the new year, and then we'll be back. So it's a shorter break this year because of the weird way the schedule works. The calendar is set up. So.
Oh, so yeah, we'll have like 2 weeks instead of three, like I think we did last year?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yep. So,
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's, I'm not gonna like spoil anything that's on these lists, but there's gonna be some interesting discussions, I think.
Yeah.
And we've added some new categories, so.
Yeah, remind me, I need to ask you about that when we're done.
All right.
There was something I want to mention that I don't think is just worth discussing on the podcast itself, but.
Fair enough. Yeah, so. We're going to be playing a bunch of games that we need to get to.
All the video games.
I see Hellblade is on the list of games that people didn't get to play.
I have it, and I'm like only a quarter of the way through, and I don't know if I'll get to finish it. I'm the one who put that on there.
Ah. Yeah, so that's one that I want to play as well. All right, well, we'll be back next week with some games that we are trying to catch up on.
Yeah, and you know what? The funny thing is news is still going to be kicking out, right? Because we have in 2 weeks is yeah. Game Awards, and then a week after that is PSX. So,
yeah, so there's going to be some news over the next couple weeks, and that those Game Awards nominees interesting. and then PSX, and then it'll be our game of the year. So we're getting there. So everyone,
not going to be a boring month.
No, it should be fun. Lots of stuff to play, and lots of stuff to talk about. All right, Jeff, say goodnight. Jeff left. Good night.
Oh, shit, Jeff did leave.
He died.
All right. We'll be back next week.